Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for True Crime News. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, it's time to go to Jay Caulfield.
Hockey knowledge right here, right now, ladies and gentlemen. You're riding around. You want to know anything that goes on in the rink. Jay Caulfield is your man.
Everything Bob just said. He's also a Stanley Cup champion. Jay, the last time we spoke, everything was doom and gloom. I mean, there was no other way to look at it. And now, suddenly, the Penguins are riding a four-game winning streak. What's been the big change here from your point of view?
I think number one, they're getting goaltending, right? Goaltending has been good, even though I know they gave up four last night, but Florida was really good, right? They had opportunity after opportunity, and I think your goaltending has been better the last couple games. I think the team is, in general, is, you're not seeing, I mean, they, look, they're working all, you know, all four lines are out there, all four lines are involved. I think the addition, the third line to me, we've talked about in the last couple nights, the third line with Lizotte in the middle, to me, has been really good with Bevilier and Bunning. And Bunning's been engaged. I think Bunning, that you saw the power play, three power play goals by the second unit the other day. All these things are kind of coming together. I think they took care of teams before last night's game. Vancouver, even talking to Rick Tocchet, their team's not where they want it to be. Not playing, you know, they're playing okay, but the Penguins did what they needed to do in those three games. I thought they got a test last night, and sometimes, hey, good teams got to, you have to find ways to win no matter which, whether you dominate. If somehow you come out on top against a Florida team that was really good, that's just a good sign. You need it. The big, you know, Brian Rust with the overtime goal, all the things that come into play. But I just think you win a couple, you feel the game a little bit more. Your goaltending has been better, and the third line for me has been really good. So that's what I think. And you see the addition of young players come involved. I think that Tomasino is nice with Malkin's line. Little pluses here and there, and all of a sudden you win a few. And we even said, I think we did say last week, and I've mentioned it on TV before, you're really one little streak away from being right in the hunt of, maybe not the top three, but you're in the hunt of the playoffs. And that's all they needed, and they're right there.
Yeah, they are. And a lot of teams are struggling ahead of them, which is good combination for that to happen, Jay. You mentioned Tomasino, and it seems like he's just giving him a little injection of life on that second line or wherever he plays. A couple of game winners right off the bat. He just seemed like the change of scenery was going to help him. How infectious is that when you see a guy come here, do that, and, you know, players around him? Is this something that can kind of rub off?
Well, you know, Bob, I think it's more like almost the situation. Like, you're right on with like a player. First of all, it wasn't working for him in Nashville. And then he gets new life and goes to a place where the Penguins are struggling, and he gets a goal, then gets another goal. And, you know, you can look back on this at the 10-game mark and see how's production, how's the team playing. It was like a perfect fit at the time that the Penguins needed it. Great for him as a player. And that's anybody in any role. You just need to go somewhere where somebody's going to give you the opportunity and the look that you want. And that's what he's getting here. Not only did he come here, he goes on Malkin's line, probably kind of pinching himself, realizing I went from Nashville in and out of the lineup. Now I'm on the second line with one of the greatest players to ever play the game. So, but he's produced. He got a couple goals. He got a big assist last night. It was a play between O'Connor, he and Malkin to finish off the second goal of the game. I think it's speed, it's quickness. You can just tell his little traits or how he looks around the net, like he just knows where to go, finds those little soft spots. I think all that stuff is great, but I think we'll look back at the 10-game mark and see how it's moving forward. But when you're winning, I've always said, and probably every other player would say it, usually when you win, you don't change anything. I expect to see the same lineup as they go into New York, who's really struggling. I think it was a nice little piece to come in, Bob, that allowed Mike Sullivan to move other pieces around. And now you see the third line, how that felt. I think the biggest part of it was it allowed them to put that third line together. Lazat's healthy, and they've been a difference maker for me. In my opinion, watching the game, they're out there, they're pushing the pace, they control play. They've been very good. It's made the Penguins so much better.
Bob, look, Jay's on TV up there, too, between Potash and Colby.
Yeah, you know, he's always sharp-dressed, too, man. He's got that those nice clothes, that the tie that always complements the plaid jacket, whatever it may be.
How many suits do you have, Jay? How many suits, would you say? Estimate.
I don't know. You know, Joe, I pick up a couple. Hey, I've got a great guy who makes my suits in Montreal. He's handled all the players. I've known him for a long time. He does my suits. And look, I can't take credit. I have to say, my wife, Alicia, has to pick. She'll pick a tie out. She'll put the stuff together. She'll pick the swatch out for my suits. I can't take any credit for that, but the guy makes a great suit, and the suits and ties are kind of pieced together with Alicia.
Alicia is a wonderful lady, too. You got two great daughters, everything working well for Jay Crawford.
Does
no
your
question.
Wife pick out your suits,
yes.
Bob?
I always tell people I get my clothes at Heinz Healy's, but people say, where do you get your clothes? I say, off the bed. They're laying out every day.
You guys should have a suit off, you two. Who dresses
wins,
better, Bob
Jay
or Jay? That would be a hell of a game.
It's not just the suit. It's who's wearing the suit. He's
that
built
suit
like,
out might go to
he's
a
built
shootout.
Like, you know, this. Look at him. Still, he still can play. I look like a sag candle right now in my midsection. Like all that wax is just going down to one area and collecting. I can't do that.
Do you still work out every day, Jay?
Yeah, I do. I do, Joe. Yep, certainly different than when we were playing, but I got to do something every day. I think most players would be that way. Honestly, I do. And Bob, you're around a lot of them. And now that doesn't mean some don't fall out, but I think mentally it's hard. If you don't do something, it's not going to feel right. And I think it helps you feel sharper and, you know, I don't know. I do. I can't imagine being in any other way. And like you said, I think most players would be the same thing. Now, Joe, not like you going against the first family of basketball in a free throw shooting contest, which I did happen to see.
Yes.
Which, by the way, Tim McConnell is, we've known them a long time. Tim worked with my daughters, Chandler and Madison, in basketball. And he's outstanding. He is tough. And look how his kids, and I say first family of basketball because what the McConnell world is outstanding. And I know you guys talked about it. Have an NBA player to not only get there, but stay there and be a valuable piece.
Incredible.
Tim's got stuff to go on, and his daughter, his other son, Maddie. I mean, they're all, listen, great. But I saw that, Joe, and I think you should translate that to your golf game as well, because if you can nail free throws under the gun, you should be able to apply that to your golf game.
Here's the thing, Jay, and I say it to people often, just to bore the entire audience out there, but maybe some people are interested. Basketball, the art of shooting a basketball, is something I did from the time that I can remember. It's in my cells. It's in my brain. If I miss one, I know exactly why I did, and I'm 100% sure I'm going to make the next one, a free throw. If I miss 100, I'm 100% sure I'll make 101. In golf, I don't know what the hell I just did. I don't know where the ball's going. I can't fix anything. It's hope. I hope it goes well, and hope is not a plan.
Hey, Jay, let me tell you this. He came in here one day. He said, I'm a scratch golfer. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, every time I hit the ball, I scratch my head. I have no idea where the hell it's going. So he is scratch.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome,
Joe. Hey, Bob, that's very nice. But, you know, I told you before, our friend Chris Martini at Golf Galaxy might be a little bit of help to you, Joe. You should take some time, and anything helps, because I do believe, and Bob would say this, I do believe in that sport. A lot of it's in the mind, and I think once you have it ingrained, now Bob has it. Bob's just in a groove. He does that.
Yeah.
And I've given you all the friends that I know play that way, but if you do that in your golf world, apply how you go about shooting fouls, and again, understanding it. But I do think if you can apply that same mentality when you play golf, you'll be way ahead of the game.
Do you have a hole in one, Jay?
I do. I had number eight at Neblewood.
Wow, that's a tough hole.
What'd you use, and did you see it go in?
You know, I did see it go in. I used a 6-iron. I think it was the back tee that day. I mean, we use, you know, blue, gold kind of thing. So it was a 185-yard shot.
That's good distance with the 6-iron. That's really
now,
good.
Now, I'll tell you this, Bob. I'll tell you this now. My one thing, Alicia, we got back from a trip, and we ran up and played Neblewood, and Alicia was with me. So the guys that have been around long enough know that I would not have fluffed that and made it. My wife was the only witness. But that is my witness, and I stand by it, Bob. But my guys have seen me play enough. They know I wouldn't go across. But it was, I got one. And I've been close a number of times. But I think, I mean, you look at some of the greatest, I don't know. I think if you're around the hole, you're going to have a chance. But that was my one, and I did see it, Joe. So, how about you?
I did not see it. It was at the time number two red at Valley Brook. They've changed the way they do things, but it was a little par three over the water. We played it early in the morning. Sun's coming up. I can't see. I'm blinded. So I just swung, and I knew I hit it pretty good, but I had no idea where it went in terms of in the hole. I didn't think that. So I went to the green. You know how you walk around, and I said, I'm not looking in a hole. Yeah. I've never seen one go in a hole. Looking in sand traps, could have gone in the water, and then – somebody else I was playing with said, oh, here it is in the hole. And it took all the starch away from it. So,
I love Valley Brook, by the way, Bob. That was the course, Jay, where I got angry. I thought quietly and did a little smash with my sand wedge into my own golf bag that nobody saw. And I figured no harm, no foul. My sand wedge is fine. And it was. But my driver and my 7-wood both snapped like pieces of kindling when I tried to pull them out.
So you're not good enough to get angered on a golf course yet.
That's a pretty. I think that's a pretty good line there, Bob. I think Mario is one. I think if any of you ever get mad, I've watched Mario play for a long time, and his bad is not bad. But when it's not the same as what he's used to or whatever, I know that's what he thinks. You're not. He never shows anything, any emotion that way. He'll let you know when he does something. I mean, he'll ride it if. When it's going good, but he never shows emotion up or down. So it's probably a good way to be there. You learn the lesson because now you're not going to do that to your driver in 3-wood anymore.
No, now I have new ones thanks to Ray over in Castle Shannon. Anyway, Jay.
Oh, listen, that's right. I can't say Ray. Ray's great over there at Castle Shannon, too. It's another great one to be associated with there, Joe, so stay with it.
He's a legend. How about Jari? I thought he won them the game last night. I know things didn't go great in the third period, but that could have gotten real ugly. I thought at times he was spectacular.
No, I thought the same thing. Look, he was. I mean, if it wasn't, we know the one got disallowed. It was offsides. And a great call from up top. They work well with Madison Nickel up top and letting Mike Sullivan, everybody know, to challenge this and all that goes with that. But Tristan Jari, to me, Florida had 19 grade A looks last night. And compared to 9 for the Penguins, but 19 grade looks with a highly skilled team that works extremely hard, physical. He had to be good. And I think throughout the night, we have mentioned even if with Tristan Jari had to be good for the score to be where it was at, and he needed to stay good and throughout the evening. And again, they did get to him late, but eventually it's going to wear, that team wears you down. And he had to be that good, and he was just that. And again, you don't like to see him give up the ones late, the team in general. You like to see his numbers get back to where he hopes he can be just for the mindset. But yeah, they needed him to play that well, and he did, and he was a big reason for the 2 points. I totally agree, Joe.
Along that line of thinking with Jari, Jay, I felt all along that he had to get in there, and they need him to be what he has to be. They put a lot of money in his pocket for that reason. I have the same kind of concerns about Ryan Graves. Because if they're going to pay him what they're paying him, I know he's been a scratch for a lot of games now, but ultimately, you got to do something. He can't just sit every single game, can he? Or what do you think would be the plan with Ryan Graves?
Yeah, no, Bob, first of all, I'm going to go back to the Jari thing real quick, what you just mentioned. Yeah, I think the way they're setting the tone and how they're playing him and how the rotation – Jari, they're saying, okay, you're our number one. You're getting these games. You got that game last night. So I agree with that. As far as Ryan Graves, that's tough because as a player and trying to do everything he can and to try and get himself to be what the Penguins expect of him and what they expect from that contract. For me, I think you just got to keep going with the lineup that you have until, you know, maybe there's a step that it doesn't, you know, that it won't, he's going to find himself in it. They break down somewhere, who's going to be the odd man out? And that's where the lineup is. You got to win games right now. They got to get points. They need all those things that go with that. And for me, a big part of it is going to be if Ryan Graves isn't in the lineup, you got to keep working until he gets back in. Or eventually they find a way to move. If he's not in their plans, they find a way to move that contract. But if you're Ryan Graves, you got to go to work each and every day, wait for your opportunity. And that could be, and you know, we don't hope, you know, for, you know, we want to see guys stay healthy, but injuries come up. That might be the way he gets back in the lineup or whatever, or if somebody has an off game and you got to find a way to get him back in. That's how they have to approach it. It's a big contract, a big number, and they need to find a way either to make it work or you move on from it. That would be any player that's not, sure, you know, producing, yep, to their liking. Yep. So this is it's a big one there, Bob. It's a really big point and a look at the lineup and their and your cap. That's a big part of it, and it has to be addressed. But as a player, he's got to just keep going to work each and every day, fight through it, and when he gets his opportunity, be ready to go and be a difference maker.
Thank you, Jay. You're a wonderful man.
It's always a pleasure, Jay.
Oh, good to talk to both of you guys. You have a good night, all right?
All right, you too. Look forward to it. It's got the Rangers on Friday. You got Toronto on Saturday. Big, big games coming up.
Bob, we should have a fashion show here at The Fan with you and Jay. Who else wears suits a lot in town?
Rich, my colleague. Richie Walsh. Yes.
Who are the best dressed? Dulac is in that contest.
Dulac,
right?
Likes to bring it up, especially on game day.
All right, then we have four. You, Richie, Jay Caulfield, and Dulac. How about a fifth? Can you think of one? A well-dressed man in Pittsburgh media limits.
Oh, can media? You? Well, Andrew Stocky dresses very nicely.
Andrew Stocky's in.
He's.
That's our five. Should we have a fashion show here?
Sure. Yeah. Bob will be the leader in the clubhouse.
No, I won't. I'm telling you, it's about physique. Jay wears it well. The physique makes it
look
better. That's
a big key, limits.
You can't wear something if you don't have the physique to back it up. Now,
what about T-Bird? Can we get him in on this? And do you get in on, is it like golf where if you win one, you get in these other contests? He won the hot dog eating contest, Bob. Can he get in this thing?
Sure.
Does he have an exemption?
You know, do something crazy. Go outside the box. Wear something that most people won't wear. I try those things with different colors and styles. I think it's good to do it once in a while.
As do I. Although, do I even own a suit? I think the only suit.
Did Jay give you an answer, by the way, when you asked how many? Because I know
he
how many
did.
I have.
How many?
More than I should.
100? Over under 99 and a half.
No, it's under. But
over under 49 and a half.
Under 37.
My God, you're Yarko Rutu of suits. Remember him,
I just said, well, those include blazers and other things. I like to mix and match and do different things. So
I think
I bet you Jay.
He's over 100.
He's got a lot of good looks. But you also have to assess.
Who's the
Joe.
Best dressed coach in Pittsburgh sports
Mike
history?
Sullivan.
Better than Jamie and Ben?
I think Mike Sullivan
good.
Wears it well. I would only assume that his wife has something to do with that as well because he's always got something new on. And again, he has the look that you want, I think. So,
do you think football coaches should dress up, or you like it the way it is now?
I kind of like it the way it is now. I do think basketball coaches should dress up. I don't like the, you know, the look on the sidelines. It's comfortable and everything, but I think also there's, I don't know, it's just a position that I've gotten to know over the years as somebody in charge wears a suit.
Do you think it's weird that baseball managers get dressed as if they're playing? It would be like Tomlin in shoulder pads and a helmet and a helmet on the sidelines.
Well, not necessarily.
Should baseball managers get dressed up?
I think most managers wear hoodies now. They're not dressing up in uniforms totally. You don't see that all the time, do you? Some do.
Well, I think the hoodie goes over the baseball top and then they have a cap on.
Okay. Well, I like the hoodie look.
I'd like a top hat with a suit in baseball.
Did you like Tom Landry when he was on the sidelines?
I hated them so much, those Cowboys teams.
Plus the
but,
hat.
Yeah, it was definitely unique. Chuck Knoll he was a windbreaker guy. Remember him?
Yeah, no question. One of the great people you ever want to meet too. But I look at Belichick now. He's dressing up in all sorts of nice suits.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for the day that he shows up in the studio with a suit that he then takes off the sleeves and cuts them right at the shoulder.
He's got to do that, doesn't
he? And then you have a nice suit with
no
sleeves.
That would bring the house down. Bob, my only suit, I'm pretty sure, and I'm thinking in my head right now, is the one I wore for my wedding, and I'm not even sure it's intact.
You can't fit into that now either,
no,
can you?
Not even close. Do you have any suits limits? How many?
I have one suit. It
between
does not,
us, we have two.
It's okay. Like, it's old. I probably wore it for, I don't know, my confirmation my 8th grade year, but it still fits.
But it's all a product of what we do. I'm required to wear a suit every day, and I do.
Yeah.
So, therefore, you guys don't have to do that.
Exactly. My goal.
Maybe we should here. Maybe this show should now take it to a standard
where we wear suits.
No, every day.
How about Wednesday
every
suit day? Do you want to do that next Wednesday limits?
No.
Okay.
You don't even get a sponsor for your clothing?
Oh, if we do that, then yes, I will.
Yeah, Bob, do you have someone in mind?
Bob has a sponsor for his clothing, right?
Well, they're people I go to because I like their product. It's, like I said, Heinz Healy's down in downtown Pittsburgh. They're great.
I have Heinz Ward.
Heinz Ward.
Joe, you've convinced me. I'll wear a suit.
All right, next Wednesday, suit day, Bob.
And then one day a week will be bow tie day. Ooh, now we're
that
taking
it. That would be gigantic. Let's do it.
No, let's not. I wake up late. I don't want to do that.
One of my goals in life was to have a job where I didn't have to get dressed up, and I don't. I wear a sweatshirt every day.
You don't find it, like, when you do get dressed up, more of a command feeling?
I do. I do believe in that old saying. What is it? What's the saying?
You feel how you dress? Yeah, something like that.
What's the saying?
I forget the saying.
I can't remember.
You are what you wear?
You are what you wear, Bob. He came up with that one.
I don't think it's that.
No, it's feelings-wise.
He's combining the one that says you are what you eat or whatever. That's different.
Yeah, you are doing that. You are what you eat.
Who says you are what you eat?
I don't know.
So if I eat like a chicken patty sandwich, am I a chicken patty?
Well, you look like one right now. Yes,
you're a chicken patty. Am I a chicken patty?
No, I think
nice
you
hair.
Are what you wear, at least mentally. You're right.
Mentally.
When I get dressed up and I'm all cleaned up, it's
a sign of respect,
yes,
not only to
I
the
feel
people you're
about
visiting,
myself.
But to yourself.
Right.
Right? You're respecting everything.
The night we had our sponsorship dinner like 3 weeks ago, I got all dressed up and everybody commented on it. They didn't
know
I had it in me.
And did you not feel better because of it?
I felt better about myself. I kept telling Denise Suba.
Any edge you can get.
Look how good I look, I kept saying to her. And she says, you're right, you do. It was very affirming.
The only thing I wanted to tell you, and I didn't have the courage, was your zipper was down all night. But that's a guy, when you get older, this happens.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Poor Bob.
I'm telling you now because it's over, but yeah.
Kennywood was open?
It happens a lot. You just forget.
Oh, my God. Now I'm embarrassed. Ashamed, even. The whole night at the sponsor dinner, my zipper was down?
Well, I didn't know how. The time I saw you, it was. And I was going to say,
I didn't adjust it, or
no.
I would have remembered doing that.
Why didn't you tell him, Bob?
Yeah,
because
why wouldn't you tell me that?
We were in the middle of a whole bunch of people. I did not want to say.
You could have told me later or texted me.
Oh. You don't return text for like 3 hours. You would have been home.
You want to hear this, Bob? Joe will text me. If I don't respond in 3 minutes, I'll get a text. Limits! Exclamation point. Limits! 5 minutes later. Then he'll call me. Limits! Did you see my text? Yes, Joe, I did. I did. I'm sorry. I just didn't respond yet.
I know. It's unfair, Bob. I don't send them out yet. I demand them.
Yeah, it's okay. Call. Sometimes that makes a difference. You hear the phone ring, you get your attention.
I've called you from the golf course. Remember I called you 1 year before a putt, and I put my phone right up against the flag? Remember that?
Yes.
And you analyzed my putt.
I did. I remember that.
That was fun.
That's on you when you first got into it, and the addiction was very high. Still high.
I didn't care how I did back then. Yes, I did. I broke clubs then, too. Mark Cabali's coming up next. Let's talk all things Steelers-Browns, the revenge game, coming up next here on Pomp and Joe. And we're very proud today to be working for a good cause with you. It's the Fans' Day of Giving to the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. You can go to 937thefan.com, click on Fan for the Win, and donate. That would be awesome. This hour's Game Changer sponsor is Pelman Electric. You can be a game changer, too. Go to 937thefan.com, click on Fan for the Win, as I just mentioned, and go ahead and donate. So our thanks to Pelman Electric. Cabali up next. Limits Beaver basketball coach Jason Bumbliss has taken another shot at you.
Oh, boy. Here we go. What does he have to say?
He pulled into the Brighton hot dog shop. Is that what it's called?
Yes, you were there.
Yeah.
You mean the place where they do not have your picture on a cup?
Yeah, where they don't have my picture.
Denied Mr. Starkey of putting his picture on the cup.
He sent me a picture and said, I'm just pulling in for lunch at the same spot. I said, great, we were just talking about it. He said, nice, dot, dot, dot. Did City Limits come to work today or was he too tired?
You know, maybe I'll take tomorrow off and just recover and rest. Wow.
That's a shot right there. Yeah. And you were very high on him and you wanted to meet him. You called him Mr. Bumbliss.
I did. I was being respectful.
I know. Not so much anymore. This could be a battle when we see him.
Apparently so.
Let's bring on the big boy, Mark Caballi. He's been warming up in the bullpen. And what a man he is, huh, Bob?
He is a man. There's no question about that. Kaboom is here.
He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. All right, big boy, let's cut right to the chase. Your level of concern with the George Pickens antics is what?
Five? This isn't a...
Out of what?
Word association, right? So I can actually expand on that.
Yeah, please expand, but I'm curious, five out of what? Five or five out of ten?
Five out of ten. Not too very concerned here because... You know, this has been going on for a while now where George, you don't know what type of George Pickens you're going to get here. Very emotional guy, but I'm not too concerned because I think for the first time, I think you've seen some people intervene. I mean, you hear Mike Tomlin calling him out saying he needs to grow up. You see Broderick Jones slapping him around saying, hey, get your head in the game. You see Russell Wilson grabbing him. So in that scheme, I think that at least they're being vigilant on the issue at hand here rather than just letting it fester and wait until it blows up. But, you know, I was looking at some of those penalties he had, and the one he had where the gunshot first down or whatever it was, he's done that a handful of times already and was not called for that. So I can almost relate to seeing, saying, hey, what's going on here? Because I already did this and not had a penalty called against him. So I can almost give him a pass on that one. But back to the original point, I do think that the guys stepping in, realizing they got to nip this in the bud, is pretty favorable.
So if we're up to you, would you consider extending him, given what we know about him right now? The immense talent, the ability to do some of the things he does, and the opportunity at times to let people get under his skin and then have him lose focus about what's going on. I still trump talent. I think that's very big. For me, given where he is, how young he is, and how productive he's been. But what do you say, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it's going to be what he wants. I mean, what they offer him. But, yeah, I would definitely approach it as wanting to re-sign him long term. I mean, in the grand scheme of things here, what are we talking about here? Celebration penalties?
Well, not running routes sometimes, you know, giving a half-hearted effort.
That was more last year, I think. I don't know if I saw a ton of that this year. As long as he's being able to be productive, as in the quarterback throwing him the ball, I think his mind's on straight. So it all depends on the money. So, yeah, I wouldn't think that would hinder them moving forward of not wanting to bring him back long-term here. But at some point, you have to make decisions. You can't sign everybody. Now, does the good outweigh the bad with him when you have to consider Watt, Wilson, Pickens, who else is available, somebody else is restricted free agent? I mean, Najee, which ones do you choose? But, yeah, I don't think anything he's done would hinder them from offering him a contract maybe in the offseason. You know, it's probably in August again. I don't see why that would be a problem. I don't think he's done anything to show that he would be an Antonio Brown-like thing waiting to happen.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Mark Caballi of the Pat McAfee Show is on the air with us. And also, I wanted to remind you this. It's back for one night only on Wednesday, December 18th. I wonder if the big boy's going. Our Odyssey Pittsburgh stations, 93.7 The Fan, will be flipping the turntables and turning Mike's Beer Bar into the biggest Christmas karaoke spot on the North Shore.
Am I invited?
I don't know. Where our on-air hosts and local celebrities take the mic for celebrity karaoke to support a Light of Life rescue mission. Details at 93.7thefan.com, brought to you by Monster Brewing Hi-Li. Holy bird milk. Are you going to be there? You can show up. Just show up and say I invited you. I don't care.
If I show up, I could
guarantee who's going to turn him down?
Yeah, who's going to turn you down at the door?
I will guarantee you one thing. There is a 0.0% chance of me doing any sort of karaoke.
We'll see about that.
You know
what?
You've probably never tried it. Come on. Get outside your comfort zone.
I know you're a legend. I've seen you in action before at the owners' meetings.
That's a story you're not supposed to tell.
Once we get a beer or 10 in you, you'll be singing Engelbert Humperdinck. Right, Bob?
Yeah.
I think you will.
You let your defenses down when you relax like
no,
that.
No, I am not singing.
Was Humperdinck underrated, Bob?
He was pretty good, yeah. I liked him. I mean,
did you have a Humperdinck record or two as a kid?
No, but I thought he was fine.
Mark, you remember him?
Something tells me that he's not in my collection.
No.
I couldn't name one Engelbert Humperdinck song.
Limits, have you ever heard of him?
No, but I formally invite Mark to sing with me. We could sing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
There you go. Bring a Christmas cap or hat.
That's an
that
easy one.
That will not happen. That will not happen.
I want to ask you something, Mark, about the HBO show last night. A lot of people have reacted to it. What was your take on it? I think Joe agrees with this. The best part was how Mike Tomlin goes around pounding into whoever he's talking to in their heads about whatever it is he wants to have done, whether that's telling Jonathan Dwyer not to fumble or, in this case, Nick Herbig, baby. You better go after that guy. You've got to kill Zeus. And he kept pounding it into his head. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Hard Knocks, at least this first episode, where they obviously were pretty Steeler heavy on it because of they're in first place. Tomlin is pretty much featured in this. And I think a lot of people probably had opened their eyes to him a little bit more than what we're normally used to. I mean, you usually see him at the front of the press conferences on Tuesdays and after games, and he's pretty regimented in what he says here. And this gave you a different look right here. But he's been doing it for 18 years now. And that's what I've always said before about him. I think he said it perfectly yesterday, man. When it is his job and his hobby are the same thing. His hobby is his job. And when that happens, the guy, you never work a day in your life. Imagine one of you two guys having a job as a professional golfer. It's like that's your job and that's your hobby. You're never going to get tired of it. So you could see the passion in his eyes. I think that really surprised some people of opening the eyes to the love that Mike Tomlin still has and the passion he still has for this game of football. So I think that's the biggest takeaway I have. But the guys, I mean, give him credit, man. What a master motivator. I mean, Herbig, I mean, who knew that he would challenge a guy like that? And he came up with one of the biggest plays in the world. Imagine some of the things we don't know about him. So I think it's a good look for Mike Tomlin, although he's probably not thrilled with doing it or being featured like that. I think it does nothing but help his overall status, maybe even potentially for Coach of the Year. People see a different look and see a different lens through his, to see him through a different lens and say, hey, okay, this guy is just not your robotic Mike Tomlin. This is why he's successful. I think it was fabulous.
50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. I'm going to give Limits and Bob an over-under. We had a conversation earlier today with Jay Caulfield. It turns out he has probably dozens of suits. Bob has 37 suits. Limits and I, between us, we each have one, although I think I only might have half of one. So Bob and Limits, over under number of suits owned by the big boy, over under 0.5, Bob.
Over.
Limits?
Over, he has at least one. I've seen him wear it on Bob's show on the showdown.
Yeah.
I'm saying that was pieced together. I'm saying your official suit number is under 0.5, big boy. How many?
Suits that will fit?
Yeah.
Currently fit? No, I'm not quite sure about that. I do have a funeral suit. That's what I like to refer to it as. It sits in the back of the closet, and when there's a funeral, obviously, of note, you yank out the old funeral coat, your funeral suit. So there's at least one in there. I had a pinstripe Bob Pomp one, but I'm not quite sure if that still fits because of my muscular upper body. So
that's a problem when you have a muscular upper body. It
you
really
and Jay
is.
Both, yeah. May I engage the big boy in a game of free association, Bob?
I always love free association, so I'll sit by and listen to
He always
these...
yells at me, Bob. He always yells at me for doing it incorrect. You'll see.
Well, let's have a good game.
He
let's have a
sets
good game
rules, and then he abandons the rules himself and blames me.
Plus, he asks questions that are impossible to answer with one word.
Well, this will be easy for you. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think the Steelers blow out the Browns. Do you?
Yes.
See how easy that was? Jameis Winston, level of concern from 1 to 5.
Concerned by who, the Browns or the Steelers?
The Steelers. Well, that's actually a good question. for the Steelers, 1 is we're not, you know, concerned with him at all. 5, we have Joe Montana coming in here.
1 to 5? Who does 1 to 5? We do 1 to 10.
See what I mean, Bob? Now, that's intentionally sabotaging the
But it was. I think he makes a good point. The point is, who does 1 to 5 when you have 10?
Yeah, that was a good line by him. I'll agree with that.
Yeah. I'd say a 6.2 for Jameis.
Will Calvin Austin play?
I believe so.
Okay.
That's not definitive.
Mike Williams, over under 0.5 targets for Mike Williams.
I'm going to go over, barely.
Over under 0.5 catches.
Under.
Who's going to be the star of the game?
Star offensively or defensively?
Either one.
Star.
Either one.
We will go... I'm going to go with Cam Sutton.
I'll ask you last week's question again. Name a year for Minka's next turnover. 24, 2025, or 2029?
Find me so. Hold on a second.
Ask him. Ask him. Give him the phone.
I mean, he's on the verge.
Okay, and, so maybe 24.
You know, let me expand on this real quick.
Yeah.
You saw from Hard Knocks last night, the guy... He's a different being, man. He gets in Jamar Chase's head like that. He goes to meetings with Tomlin. That alone is worth a couple bucks, in my opinion. So
thank
he's
you.
Very important to this team.
Thank you, big boy. I have no further questions, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. We'll
All right, Mark.
Mike Spearborn.
Oh, yeah. He's Look at that.
Buddy.
The promise has been made. He's going to show
when
up.
When is that again? When is it?
That's
18th,
Wednesday,
right?
December 18th.
Wednesday, December 18th. Oh, goodness.
Why don't you check your calendar and get back to us? Goodbye.
I will.
Goodbye, big boy. Say goodbye to Bob.
Bye, Bob.
See you, Mark.
Bye, Mark.